Lineouts. Racks.
Halls engage.
What an amazing try.
Tries and tackles. Dissected by South Africa's top rugby minds.
That is world class.
This is To The Last Drop, your weekly in-depth rugby podcast with Liam Delcombe and Brendan Nell.
This is To The Last Drop. I'm Liam Delcombe.
And I'm Brendan Nell.
Brendan, it's business end of the URC starting this week with the quarterfinals. A couple of obvious major matchups happening this weekend. And we have an anchor guest who will be rolling up his sleeves for a rather big encounter at Loftus.
Yeah, as an old friend of the pod and someone very well known to South African rugby fans, Sean Everett, ex-Springbok coach. He also coached at the Bulls as well. Ex-Sharks coach. What am I saying here? Anyway, ex-Sharks coach. And I've got the Springboks on my brain, obviously. And he also coached at the Bulls alongside Jake White. And he's going up against Jake White this week. And we had a long chat to him ahead of Edinburgh's big task of coming to win at Loftus. They've beaten the Bulls already in the EPCR quarterfinal, but on the 4G pitch in Edinburgh. And it's going to be interesting to see what they do this weekend. So let's go straight into that. Let's listen to Sean and our chat with him. On the pod today, our special guest is a longtime friend of the pod, somebody we know very well, Sean Everett. Welcome to the pod and welcome back.
Thank you very much, Brendan. Good to see you again and good to chat to South African journalists that's involved in rugby.
Quarterfinals, always tough weeks, Sean. And we know you know Loftus pretty well. You coached there a season or two ago, and you've been there as a Sharks coach a lot. And there's a bunch of guys in your team that know Loftus very well. I'm sure you're looking forward to the challenge.
Brendan, it's always a tough challenge playing at Loftus, regardless whether you've been there once or twice. And I've been there several times over my career in South Africa. So, you know, I'm under no false illusions, you know, what challenge lies ahead of us. At the same time, you know, we have played the Bulls twice this year, and they got one over us at Loftus, and we got one over them at home. So it's been a home and away affair for us, likewise the previous year as well. So we're looking forward to the challenge, and our guys have played some good rugby over the last several weeks.
The matchup has been very much, as you say, whoever plays at home tends to get the edge, and there hasn't been huge margins in it. The last time you played them at Loftus, it was 6 points. And then, of course, you hosted them and it was 6 points. What have you taken up from your previous experiences there, your recent experiences there that you can apply, things that you may want to do differently?
Yeah, it's about, first of all, it's for us taking our opportunities. And we certainly did that at home against them. You know, when we got into the 22, we were quite efficient. At Loftus, you know, it works the other way around. You know, they back themselves and they see Loftus as a fortress. And we also know the energy they get from the crowd at home. But obviously the threats remain the same. They're a good set-piece team. You know, they've got a strong line-out and a very good scrum. And Wilco Lowe certainly made them stronger in that department. And, you know, I'm familiar with the rest of the guys at the Bulls and I know how good they can be on the day.
You spoke about the Wilco Lowe there, but you've also got an old Bull in your team there, Pierre Schoeman. I'm sure I must be looking forward to that scrum battle.
Yes, he's done really well for us and a good guy and a great rugby player, and, you know, being selected for the British and Irish Lions is sentiment to that. So, yes, Pierre is very familiar with Loftus, played his earlier career there, went to school at Uffies, you know, and then we've got another South African from the Cheetahs, Buan Fenta, you know, in our squad as well. And, you know, they're experienced campaigners and really good rugby players. But like I say, you know, it's a... You know, forward play as a unit. We've done pretty well in that department, so it'll be an interesting battle.
You've got Edinburgh's quite accustomed to playing knockout rugby. The first URC, you played in the quarterfinals. I think Mike Blair was still the coach. How many of those players do you still have in your squad, just in terms of continuity and giving you experience from playing knockout football?
Yeah, I can't remember the number, who exactly was involved, but our squad has remained consistent over the last few years. You know, if you look back at the group, you know, there's a Grant Gilchrist and a Sam Skinner, Marshall Sykes, Pierre Schoeman, You know, unfortunately, Dave Cherry won't be playing with us, but he would have been a hooker at those times. And the Loose Trio would be very familiar with Amy Watson, Jamie Ritchie, and I think Ben Muncaster was around at that time as well. So there's quite a few guys that have experienced that. And like I say, knockout rugby has been our game for the last 9 weeks. We've had to stay alive in the URC, and we've had, you know, the Challenge Cup experience as well. So it will be no different for us than any other week. We know the importance of the game, and we know the importance of knockout rugby.
John, just on that, I mean, you come from a South African environment as well. Early in your coaching career, you were at Loftus as well, so you know what Jake's trying to achieve there as well. You talk about the continuity, but that's something you don't really have in the South African system as much, because players leave so often. How different has it been coaching a team where you've got those sort of players who are there for multiple seasons and not worrying that they're going to up and go off to Japan or Europe or something like that?
Yeah, firstly, there's the French attraction, and I think that's around the world. And you can just see how strong they were when you look at the European Cup final on Saturday afternoon. But in saying that, yes, you know, consistency is good. You know, I've been in Edinburgh now for my second season, which is coming to an end, hopefully in 3 weeks' time. And I've had the same group of players to be able to work with. And that's always important, because with consistency, you get cohesion. So it's great to work with the same guys and grow them and obviously, you know, grow on what you try to install when you arrive as a new coach. And that's always pleasing. Obviously, there's relationships that get built over time as well. And there's element of trust that gets built between player coach. So it is vitally important.
You mentioned Piers Koeman earlier, and you mentioned the Lions and the selection. Just the number of players that you've got earned a nod to play for the Lions. Have you seen anything different from them in training? Are you anticipating a spring in their step when they run out? You know, have they been energized by all of this?
Piers Koeman's an incredible rugby player and person. You don't see any different. You know, him coming into work every day is the same that he'll deliver at Scotland and what he's going to deliver for the British and Irish Lions. He's incredibly consistent in his behaviours. He's a perfect gentleman. He wears our Edinburgh Castle with pride. He is good in the community and an extremely popular individual in Edinburgh. And that's testimony to the type of person that he is. So there has been no change in him. He just wants to give his best for the club or whichever team he plays for on the day, whether it be for Edinburgh, Scotland. And I know that the British Irish Lions will get the same from him too.
You know what I mean? Going back to that game in the EPCR Challenge Cup there, you guys had a superb first half and the Bulls had a superb second half. It was quite a game. I mean, if ever that cliche is there of the game of two halves, I suppose there's a bit in it for both sides in that both sides could take a lot out of that. The Bulls will probably feel that they left their charge too late, and probably that'll be part of their motivation this week. How do you counter that as a coach?
Yeah, it's a difficult one. I mean, we had a good start. Obviously, at home, the energy levels are higher than when you travel. And I think, you know, that was certainly the case at Edinburgh. But, you know, we played extremely well in the first half. Only conceded two penalties, and then in the second half conceded seven. So that's going to be important on the weekend. We know how far the ball travels at Loftus, whether you're kicking to poles or whether you're kicking to touch. So discipline is going to be really important. And it was a factor in that game. And if you allow, you know, the Bulls set piece in your own 22, it's really going to be difficult to stop them. And I thought we defended well against them the last time to keep them out. But like I say, you know, discipline is going to be key in knockout rugby, whether you're kicking for poles or whether you're getting yourself into field position.
What has your previous experiences in knockout games taught you? Is it to stay true to what you always do, to your blueprint? Or is it the adaptation of the occasion?
I think you've got to adapt according to the opposition that you play. But, you know, once you've established an attack system and a defense system, you can't change it on the day. What we need to do is, you know, stick to what's worked for us over the last, you know, couple of months and play with confidence. You know, you can't go into a quarterfinal, you know, with a fear of failure or fear of losing. You've got to go into a quarterfinal confident in what you're about to execute. And it's part of their DNA. We train it every day, so you won't see anything different from us. I think we've got a good all-round game. But like I say, it's accuracy and execution on the day, and that's what's going to be important.
So it's more about storming out of your castle than defending it.
Correct, exactly like that. You know, for us, we believe that we can beat South African teams. You know, we haven't done that well against them since I've been there, away from home, but we certainly have achieved good results against them at home. I think, you know, having played three of the South African teams recently this year and performing well against them will stand us in good stead. We also know the challenges that the Bulls bring. You know, they always get fast starts at Loftus. And like I say, and we spoke earlier, you know, they had a strong finish against us. So I believe that the first 20 and last 20 are going to be vital.
Sean, we often hear from overseas teams, and as you've been on the other side of this question as well, that physicality is the key and you've got to stand up to the South Africans. Now, you guys, as you say, have had quite a bit of success against South African teams, especially in Edinburgh. I was just wondering, what's it like? What's the message to a Scottish pack, and what sort of mentality? Is it just physicality, or is it more?
For us, you know, if you look at the pack that we have, you know, that there's a lot of internationals in that pack, and if they're not internationals, they're international qualities. You know, Buan Fenter, if he were playing in South Africa, would be putting his hand up for Springbok selection. So, yeah, for us, I think any game of rugby that you play requires a level of physicality. We've proven that when we're up for games and against South Africans that we can do that. You've got to build it into your training, and most importantly, it's a mindset. You know, it's like going into a boxing match. If you don't believe you can, you know, take the other guy on physically and with power, you know, then you're not going to win. Because that's a mental preparation that you have to have, and the mental belief that you have to have. And I believe that we have that belief. It's about us executing on the day.
Coupled to that is the Loftus factor. Is it something that you try and push aside and not make a big thing of it with your players? Or is it something that you talk about actively and embrace it?
Yeah, we do mention it because it is a factor. You know, fortunately for us, you know, the teams have played each other at Loftus, you know, on, I think, four occasions now. So they've got an idea of what the heartfelt is like. Fortunately, this time it's in winter. We were early last time and it was a scorcher of a day. So that's something that you can't shy away of, but you can't have an excuse. And I think, you know, Glasgow beating the Bulls last year in the URC final was an example of that. You know, I think a lot of the overseas or Northern Hemisphere teams now have had success in South Africa, whether it be at Ellis Emirates Airline Park or at Loftus. So once again, you know, you've got to look at that. We can't have excuses. We know what's coming. We know what altitude can do. And it's about getting on with the job.
So last time we spoke to you, you just started there at Edinburgh. Last time we had you on the pod. And obviously a lot has happened since then. It seemed at one point earlier this season that things weren't going your way right in the sort of early to middle part of the season. And as you say, you guys have had to play almost knockout rugby for the last 9 weeks. What changed there? Was it just that things just clicked together eventually? Or because it did seem at one point you were under a bit of pressure there.
Yeah, I wouldn't say pressure, but, you know, we want to perform every week. We knew we were going to have a tough start to the URC. And I don't know if you recall Naspoort saying the Curry Cup was never won in May. You know, but we had Leinster first up at full strength, you know, powerhouse of club rugby in the world. And then we had a difficult trip to South Africa. And then back at home to face the Stormers. We didn't win the first three, which is always going to leave you under the pump, similarly to what it did to the South African teams in the first URC competition that they were included in. So, yeah, we got it back on track, you know, beating the Stormers at home and then obviously two wins and then a win at home against Glasgow as well. I think what we got to understand is that at times you're not always fielding your best team. We have a lot of guys that are away on international duty. You know, in South Africa, you might lose 1-2 or up to 9, like when I was at the Sharks. But in Edinburgh, you can lose 14, you know, or 16 players. So it is a bit disruptive. But like I say, you know, there's no excuses for that. We also beat Munster away during the Six Nations, which was a massive win for us, which gave the wider squad belief in that they can compete with the better teams away from home. So that was important for us. But we've had some continuity now since the Six Nations, and that's worked in our favour.
Often players come back from the Six Nations, and it can go both ways. I mean, you're obviously quite happy with the way your players reintegrated into your squad?
Yes, we got a good environment and the guys enjoy being at the club. You know, a lot of them are teammates in the Scotland camp when they're away. At the same time, you know, they're proud to be part of Edinburgh, and we do play for the city and they have responsibility. We also do manage our players quite well, so they don't come out of Six Nations and then in the first week, you know, dive straight back into the ERC. They have time off. And fortunately, I have been able to rotate the squad, so everyone's had an opportunity to play. Yeah, and we've got a really good environment, and the guys are happy and enjoy coming to the stadium every day to train.
So last one from me. We also asked you last time, the pod's called To The Last Drop. So I think we asked you last time about the whiskies and that. Have you had a chance to amble down the Royal Mile there in Edinburgh and maybe stop for a few?
It's such a beautiful city. You know, you can't really get enough of it. So when the weather's good, you do get out and you do walk around. I'm not a big whiskey drinker. I enjoy it every now and again. And yes, we have had a few tasters around the city. And obviously, we've got Duane van den Merwe and Pierre, who've got their own whiskey. And I've been fortunate enough to be given a bottle from them. So yes, it is enjoyable. And like I say, in Edinburgh, it's good to get out. So many pubs and so many coffee shops that you can visit. But I think the beauty of the city is second to none.
Well, I hope you do a recce before Saturday's game and maybe find some kind of whiskey bar in Pretoria. Because if you do pull off a win, then it's, you know, you've got more. it can be an occasion.
I'm sure Duane and Pierre will bring some stock with them for that should happen.
It might not be whiskey that you find.
I think you know the boys do enjoy brandy too, and you don't get Klipdrift here or Richley brandy in Edinburgh, so it's always a good chain. But obviously, work first.
So thanks for chatting to us, and good luck for this weekend. That's going to be an epic one. We'll see you at Loftus. I'm sure we'll bump into you there. Yeah, and good luck.
Thank you very much, Brendan. Thanks for having me on your podcast.
Thanks, Sean. That's gratitude.
Thank you very much, Liam.
Yeah, always insightful to listen to Sean. You can see he's also quite measured, doesn't make huge statements. We've come to expect that from him. So I would imagine sort of in the background, maybe not stuff that he's now prepared to share with us, but I'm pretty sure they're going to come up with a plan or two to try and get a first win at Loftus.
Yeah, interesting that he spoke about Glasgow winning there last season and them taking something out of that. I found that quite interesting. There's definitely a plan. He's not going to share it, and they've got... Yeah, they played at Loftus enough to know what to expect. So it's a tough one for that. But I mean, we also had a chat. I was yesterday at Loftus and I had a quick chat with Jake White. And just maybe listen to him talk about what he expects from Edinburgh and from Sean as well, if this is a grudge match or not.
Yeah, lots. I mean, we finished well against them. That gives me hope. You know, I think I said to you after that game, or I said to the media after that game, had that game gone another 5 minutes, I've got no doubt that we would have won it. And that, again, says a lot, because I know that there were a lot of things we could have changed and I could have changed in the build-up to that game. So, you know, selection-wise, rotation-wise, you know, using the bench or whatever the story was, either worked or didn't work in that situation. There'll be a lot of things that I'll look at that game and know that if I'm a little bit more, I don't want to say street-wise, but a little bit more aware of what happened last time, it may help us in our favour. No, well, I mean, I know Sean, and, you know, you guys often, I mean, when we spoke last, is it a grudge game? And Sean, and, you know, I think Sean's coming here, and let's be fair to them, you know, it's like anything in momentum in sport, and I watch golf and I watch tennis, and when that momentum changes, it's amazing. You can't stop it. You know, it's like amazing how it works in any sporting code. And they were dead and buried in Edinburgh about 6, 7, 8 weeks ago, when I read articles he might be out of a job and they might not make the top 8, and ended up they played in the semi-finals of the Challenge Cup, and they now did make the 8, and not only made the 8, they came 7th. So they didn't even squeak in. They needed 5 points against Ulster and they got it. So that's what momentum does. So to answer your question, Kubis, I'm not expecting anything other than the fact they will come here. A lot of those players have played international rugby. In fact, I think more of their players have played international rugby than our players. And so I don't think it's going to be... And we struggled against them. To be fair, we've lost to them. Sorry, we beat them here 1 year when Henry Immelman missed a kick on the hooter to win the game. So I don't think it'll be any different. I think it's going to be a tough quarterfinal fixture.
Yeah, the thing with Jake is he's always a bit more front foot than some of the other coaches. That's what we've come to expect from him, and that always makes for fantastic copy and fantastic audio.
Yeah, and you can see they also quite happy where they are at the moment, even though there's a couple of injuries. Johan Huisen won't be there this weekend, but their replacements have been pretty good. Keegan Fredericks was a winger of a way back when, but Keegan Johannes has been pretty good in the 10 spot as well. I don't know where my mind is this morning. It's everywhere. But
yeah, I'm expecting Keegan Peterson to come out of your mouth soon as well.
Yeah.
Well, not out of your mouth, you know what I mean.
Yeah. I know. But he's done pretty well. And Jan-Hendrik Wessels has been pretty good at loose head as well. So I don't think the Bulls have too much to worry around there. And their team is pretty settled. They know Loftus. They get a good start at Loftus every single time. I'd say they're favorites them. And I think we can just go straight into a prediction. Yeah, I think Edinburgh will give them a tough time, but I can't see the Bulls losing this one.
Yeah, the Johan Huisen absence, not just in this match, but I know how long he will still be out for, but clearly a guy with his experience and his boot would have been a massive asset for them come business end of this tournament.
Yeah, I mean, they said he started running yesterday. We saw him yesterday. He was walking without any obvious discomfort that we could see. And so I'm not sure what that means in medical terms. Obviously, not a doctor, but he could be back for the next week if they make the semi or the final. And I think the Bulls would want him back for that. But I think they've sort of, come what may, they'll take it one game at a time, as they always love to use that cliche. And whoever's there must do the job. And that's the bottom line. Interesting, though, a little tidbit that I did pick up, and we'll probably see more of this closer to the game, is they definitely going to use Cornell Hendricks' memory as sort of a rallying point for them for this game and for the rest of the season. I did pick up that they're going to do some sort of embroidery on their jersey with Cornell's number of the 14 that he played in for this game and then for the rest of the season. So it's going to be interesting to see how that inspires them. Jake's been quite obvious about why they need the why. Maybe last season they didn't have the why. They need to win, and now they're going to try and use that. And emotion's a powerful thing, so maybe it'll work for them. Sometimes it can work against you as well, but it'll be interesting to see how they handle that.
Yeah, we've seen that too many times in the past where emotions do get in the way. But I mean, Jake is a wily coach, so I'm pretty sure he'll steer clear of that. But there are a couple of big matchups as well, Brendan. I don't know where should we jump first. Do we go to Glasgow or do we go to Durban?
Well, I think let's go to Durban first, because that's the other big local game and the huge one. And do we see the Sharks play to their potential, or do we see another Sharks performance that sort of leaves us, I'm not going to say wanting more, but thinking that they could do a lot more? Munster certainly haven't been the Munster that they've been all season, all this URC, shall I say. But they certainly are more than wily enough and clever enough and streetwise enough to get a win in Durban, and I don't think we'll ever underestimate them. But you got to think that with Eamon Etzebeth back and with the Sharks, with their star studded, somewhere they've got a fire on all cylinders, and so far it hasn't been that.
Yeah, the thing with Munster is that, yeah, we've seen, in fact, they served reminders well earlier this season by winning away from Ahmed La Rochelle in the Champions Cup. You know, what a capable side they can be away from them. So they'll always have those qualities. Yeah, and it's also one of those games where the Sharks just can't afford another stuttering performance. You just feel that if they're off their game and Munster tactically get it right, that it could become a proper arm wrestle. And the more of an arm wrestle it becomes, the more you'd want to fancy Munster. So that's something the Sharks would want to avoid. I mean, certainly they have the firepower to hurt Munster, but you know, they would really want to play this game on their terms.
Definitely. This is just an interesting sidebar. I mean, we're not talking about, obviously, the Investec Champions Cup, but Bordeaux winning the Investec Champions Cup this week, I was quite, there was sort of a bit of a wry smile there. And I think Ed Coetzee, probably their former CEO, would have that wry smile as well, because the coaching staff of Bordeaux was Yannick Brew, who was the assistant coach at the Sharks 2 seasons ago. Noel McNamara, the Irish assistant coach, was also at the Sharks. And I forget the guy's full name, but Gorgazi, the scrum coach, the Georgian scrum coach, was also at the Sharks. So three of the Sharks players and Sharks ex-coaches part of that winning team for Bordeaux. And so you have to wonder to yourself, was it all the coaching, or what was the environment like there? I'm sure there's some questions that some Sharks will be asking about that. But anyway, turning back to this game, that was just a sidebar I just wanted to put in, and some food for thought.
I was wondering where you were going to end up.
Well, I'm sure Ed could see us probably telling a lot of people he brought them and look at what they did. But anyway, that's the type of thing that does.
Look, for at least a week, it's worth bragging about it. So yeah, fair.
Exactly. But back to this game, Eamon fronted up the media yesterday, and we have a quick clip of what he thinks of the game. So have a listen.
Yeah, it's weird to say that the body is quite fresh because it is the knockout stages and there's maximum 3 games left. Only play a couple of minutes this season, or well, at least this year. So it's been quite frustrating. Obviously, with a concussion, there's not really a timeline on it. It's how your symptoms are and then how you respond to certain treatments. So I think that was the frustrating part. I think I'll be back maybe in a week's time or two, and then it's a bit longer, and then eventually got back, and yeah, I had picked up a hamstring, and I had to set out a bit more. So yeah, well, quite frustrating, but now happy to be back, and I think it was good to, against Scarlett, to get that first 80 minutes. I think when you play a 20 year or 60 there, it's good, but once you finally get a full game of 80 minutes of rugby, you really feel that you're back in the mix. Yeah, I don't know if I'm correct, but I think it's probably the first time we are hosting a quarterfinal. I might be wrong, I'm not sure. But it's definitely an advantage. But we know Munster, I think 2 seasons ago, they played a semi away and a final away. I'm not sure if they played a quarter away as well. So they are used to playoff success and winning away from home in knockout games, which are the most important. Everything you've done before now doesn't really count. But yeah, it's a good opportunity for us to hopefully push a bit further in this competition. Like I said, with having the home crowd advantage and doing it in front of our fans, it's obviously a massive bonus. Yeah, look, I think it came down to the last week of the URC. We also at a stage we thought we'll probably play the Stormers. We'll end in fourth and the Stormers were in fifth. And then I think Glasgow lost their last 2 or 3 games of the season, we ended up third, and from 5th to 9th, it was a bit of a gamble who's going to end where. So yeah, eventually we got Munster, and yeah, we obviously know it's a quality side. They always they've got a history of playing well in knockout games. Like I said earlier, 2 seasons ago they went on to win the competition, winning I think 2 or more playoff games away from home. So we're very aware of that, that they can be at the best even away from home. So the quality side, and we definitely won't look too much into the past and the past result, where we were obviously came out on top. But I mean, it's a new game. Just the weekend rugby is a long time, and that was more than half a year ago. So yeah, that won't count at all.
The other interesting one, Stormers are going to do in Glasgow. This is where they lost last season and at the same stage. And yeah, you sort of wonder if they have the firepower or the mental ability to win away from home. I think Glasgow aren't the team that they were last season at this stage, but they're certainly still formidable. And I think you can make the argument that the Bulls winning at Munster and winning away at Glasgow, their mental fortitude going into the quarters is certainly where it should be. Stormers are going to have to answer that question themselves. They don't have Damien Willemse, who's been suspended. Big loss for them, but they still have a lot of firepower on that back line, and it's going to be an interesting game to watch.
It will be fascinating in as well for me, because Glasgow, I wouldn't want to say lost their way, but you know, they're not going into the knockout phases, with the confident stride they might have done in previous seasons. So there are some questions to be answered there as well in terms of their confidence. That must have taken a bit of a knock this season, not just in URC, but also in Champions Cup. And of course, the Stormers, very much an up-and-down season. Poor start of the season, did really well to sort of pick themselves up and put a half-decent winning run together and get themselves into the playoffs. And now that they're there, they will need to pick up the game, there's no doubt. I agree with you, they certainly have the firepower to hurt Glasgow, but then you think
Then you think back to a game where they played against Ulster, that away game where, you know, we saw bits and pieces of their firepower, and then there was also bits and pieces where they imploded and made some really poor decisions. So, you know, for me, it'll be about game management for them. They will have to play, they will have to be brave, but then they cannot afford to make the errors that have dogged them for much of the season. I think it's a fascinating battle. I think they could win this game, and they could probably win it by 5-6 points, but it will have to be their best game of the season by a stretch. And let's not forget that earlier this season, the Warriors won in Stellenbosch, so they've already got one over the Stormers in that sense as well.
Yeah, that's to me, I mean, it's quite clear where the Stormers will be looking to. They'll be looking for another sort of mercurial performance from Sacha Feinberg and Gumuzulu. And if Glasgow will obviously know that and will try and shut that down very quickly. As the Stormers forwards are going to have to stand up here and give them the ball they need to attack. So that's an interesting one. Both teams will know what the other one brings. So it is fascinating.
With Glasgow, you just feel that their game is so momentum based that, you know, the quick recycling, the support players are running onto it at speed and at an angle. They can be a proper handful. So the Stormers' defense will certainly, I mean, we're talking about the attacking qualities of their back line, but I think their defense will have to be on point.
Yeah, I was going to say, just on that, I mean, they definitely took a blow in that Leinster game, the 52-0. And even when they played Leinster in their last game now in the pool rounds, it was almost like they were happy to lose by like less than 10 points. And that always worries me when a team does that, because the sort of mental thing, yeah, okay, we didn't lose by more. And that's not what you want from a defending champion team. I'm sure there's lots of work going on behind the scenes to try and rectify that. Franco is a details man. We know that. So we expect them to be ready for this challenge, and they'll fancy themselves against the Stormers. Just the sidebar I wanted to say, we had the nominations come out for the South African URC Player of the Season this week. And I see Sacha is there, although I'm not quite sure if he's played that much in the URC this season. He's had a good run these last couple of weeks. And so it feels to me like a bit of a fan sort of based decision. That the guy, of course, I'm rooting for is because you never see a tight head prop get an award. Wilco Lowe, I think he's been
outstanding. Yeah. He has been truly outstanding. I mean, for me, he's just about being the forward of the competition.
Yeah, and I mean, quite funny, Jake also mentioned it yesterday. He said Doc Craven used to say, who's the most important player in the team? Your tight head. And who's the second most important guy in the team is your reserve tight head. So Wilco has been exceptional. I'd want him to win that award. I'm very biased in this. The glory boys in the back line always get the honors. I'd like to see a tight head win this. But yeah, it's a tough one to call this game. I'd say probably your heart says Stormers can do it, but my head says Glasgow are going to probably win this one.
Mm. Yeah, that's probably spot on. It will take an awful lot. But, you know, there are chinks in the armor of both teams, as we pointed out. So, you know, that drags us probably a little bit further into the unknown. So good luck to the Stormers, but it will be a tall order.
And then the final one, the game we probably think is anyway, I think we'll both agree, it's probably going to be a done deal anyway in terms of the result. Leinster, whose probably biggest battle is their own demons at this stage of the competition, against a very plucky and brave Scarlet side, I think will probably give them a good fight for about 50 minutes. But I can't see them beating Leinster in Dublin. They have beaten Leinster already this season, but a second-string Leinster side. At this stage of the season, I think Leinster will have a couple of jitters, given their record in the URC over the last couple of years and their record in knockouts. But I think we probably see a solid Leinster victory this weekend.
Yeah, the jitters might not hit them properly this week. But, I mean, should they cross this hurdle, you get to semi-finals, then, you know, the pressure is cranked up by a few notches. So, yeah, they should get out of this unscathed. I think Scarlets will be a handful. They'll, you know, nothing to lose attitude, and they'll pose some uncomfortable questions. But, you know, you still expect Leinster to win comfortably. And then look at that semi-final and potential final and sort of, yeah, try and overcome those mental demons. The way they approach the rest of the season is going to be very interesting.
Yeah, that's going to be very, very interesting to watch. So that's our take on the quarterfinals. Only one last little thing now I wanted to mention was just congratulations to Johan van Graan and Thomas du Toit and the entire Bath team for their win in the EPCR Challenge Cup. We saw some two epic finals in Europe this last week, and Johan van Graan's second trophy on the run this season, and they can now go for the Premiership title, and then they'll have the perfect season. So he's been a guest on this on the pod a number of times. A great guy, hardworking coach, and well done to him. Mm. But other than that, looking forward to the semifinals, the quarterfinals. Yeah,
no, absolutely. Congrats to Bath. Jeez, what a turnaround! I mean, from being, remember those comments he made when he started out about, you know, about how they are down in the dumps and that they need to sort of rebuild, and had buy-in from management, from the boardroom. And I suppose that's tribute to, you know, to the trust that they've put in him and they've placed in him. So well done, Bath.
Yeah, I saw a picture after the final of him just sitting in the middle of the pitch while everybody was celebrating on his, you know, with his legs stretched out, no one around him, just taking in the moment. And, you know, that's what it means for a coach. It's great to see. So well done to him. And yeah, looking forward to this quarterfinals today. That's it for us. Yeah, you know, we'll be back. We'll chat about what happened, see if our predictions were right this time.
Well, given our form, anything's possible. We'll see. We'll see you next week.
Cheers.
Thanks for listening. For the latest insights and rugby analysis each week, plus new episode alerts, please follow or subscribe to the series. Or find all episodes at jacaranda.fm.com or the Jackpot app.